disclaimer, I'm not sure I want to say anything at all.
Yeah, I'm looking through my contract right now to see if
make sure nothing bad has happened.
Yeah, my attorney's on my cell phone.
Exactly.
My phone's blowing up.
Somebody should be taping this. Oh, we already are. Oh, you're listening to the second hour of We the People. You can join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Cue Bill for the commercial.
Yeah, we're brought to you by Team Power, John Deere Kubota dealer here in Shasta Lake, California. And they're on 3119 Twin View Boulevard, just south of Phil's Propeller. Go see them now. They have a yard full of tractors, and they're ready to make a deal. Huge inventory. If you want a tractor, they probably got it in stock. So go talk to them. Get a great deal on a tractor. Phone number 226-9226. Team Power.
Toughest part is whether you want an orange tractor or a green tractor.
You know what? That is a big deal with people.
I know.
The color.
But yeah. That's a difficult deal.
Yeah.
I know. Remember? Yeah. We were Kubota dealers before, and we have a stool. You'd put it at a parts counter, has a big puffy seat. Mm-hmm. And we gave one to a friend of ours who had a Kubota tractor, and his wife was all mad. It was orange, didn't match their kitchen.
She didn't want
it in the house. I don't want it in the house. It's orange. I don't want anything that's orange. So, yeah, that is kind of a problem. Go figure. So our guest this hour is Dr. Richard Mielocki. We've been talking about sociopaths, and if you missed the first hour, you'll have to just go back and listen to the archive. The good news is you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. If you have ideas for shows or anything else, our phone numbers and emails are all on the web. You can pipe up and tell us stuff. So, okay, during the break, I always hate it because during the break we talk about all these interesting things and then it's hard to do it again. But talk about the real-time MRI.
Okay, so
I don't know that we know about that.
There's no reason you would. So it's
thank goodness.
Well, you know.
We haven't gone mental yet, so that's...
Yeah.
Yay!
Well, no, but it's a research tool. So what we're trying to do, or what we've been trying to do, you know, for a long, long time, is figure out which different parts of the brain do different things. And if we can, the idea is if we can identify, because the brain has lots of different parts, different layers, and they all have their little job. But they all communicate with each other in really cool, you know, fascinating ways. But we haven't ever, well, I think I was telling you guys, you know, 40 years ago, my neuroanatomy book, every chapter on every part of the brain, every chapter ended with the same paragraph. Most of the functions of this part of the brain are completely unknown. Research is ongoing. So at the very, it was the same paragraph.
So don't maybe memorize this exactly.
Well, no, but
it's just
it's just like, hey, we've identified them. We've sliced all these cadaver brains, and we said, oh, this is a different thing than this, and we've named them different things. And some of the guys that did that early on got their names on it, like Broca's area, Dr. Broca. But at any rate, it's a super complex part of the brain or part of the body, and it develops at different speeds. So I think what we were talking about, you know, with the real-time MRI is now what we can do. We have this technology where we put students, usually volunteers, into a scanner and then learn about how the brain works and which parts of the brain do what they do by stimulating the brain in certain ways. Usually it's visually, but sometimes they'll have them smell something. Sometimes they'll have
they're in the tube.
Yeah. Okay. And sometimes they'll have them hear something. And then by cataloging hundreds of those subjects and seeing how their brains react, we can gradually learn more about which parts of the brain do which things.
Because I think we see that on movies. Are they like a red area, yellow area, that kind of thing? What's
certain
it look
parts
like?
Light
on
up, yeah.
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 And,
is that what it does?
Well, yeah, and there's more than one way to do it, but what the MRI
does. Yeah, what does MRI really do?
Okay, so it's magnetic resonance imaging.
Right.
And it turns out one of the basic principles of physics is that all molecules, depending on what they're made of, all atoms and molecules vibrate at a different frequency. And you just have to take my word for that. They all do.
No, that makes sense.
So in the electromagnetic spectrum, they absorb radiation. They have an absorption spectrum. They absorb radiation and emit radiation at a different frequency. And so the MRI is a magnet, and like all magnets, they have a magnets have a north and south pole. You can think about it like that. So when you're in an MRI, if you've ever had one, I've had a couple.
Yeah.
There's a pretty, they put the headphones on, but there's a pretty loud click, 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 you
right.
know. Well, that when that's clicking, it's reversing north to south, north to south. And what the machine is actually doing is, and you have to take my word for this, it's spinning your protons. So your hydrogen atoms are positively charged, and so by spinning them, the machine measures relative density of the tissue that you're imaging. And by doing that over and over, and by having really highly sophisticated software programs,
makes a picture.
They can make an image.
Sure.
So now,
because normally MRI is like a, like if you go to an MRI and that go, then that result goes to your doctor. It's a static picture.
Correct.
They're not getting a little movie. They're getting
pictures. No, we get slices.
Okay.
Yeah, you get slices, and it's kind of like the CT scan, which is different. Technology that's mm-hmm. actually using x-ray technology, but so the magnet it spins your protons around and lets us see how dense the tissue is. So differences in tissue density help us identify the different structures within the brain.
That's how you can see if it's big or little. But like we were talking about on the break, if they show somebody a scary picture, part of your brain should respond to
yes,
that.
Yes, and the part that lights up tells us, or that becomes more metabolically active, because that's what they're measuring.
Right.
The part that becomes metabolically active means, hey, that's the part of the brain that scary picture was going to.
But if you're one of these sociopath people, no light up or really tiny?
You know, they don't use it. They don't do real-time MRIs on sociopaths that I know of.
Too bad.
Well, I mean,
it's beyond that.
They
already know.
Yeah, we already have identified the neuroanatomic problems that those folks have. It's just a question of identifying them for the general population.
So are these movies that we used to see where people would be having, like, brain surgery and they'd stimulate different parts of the brain, it would cause a reaction in the person. They'd say something or blink.
I think that's a Far Side cartoon. They poke the one part and the guy's leg flies up in the air.
Yeah.
Well, that was the old way of telling what did what.
What did what,
In fact, the real old way of telling what did what is people who were brain injured, the doctors would then examine them and try to, you know, document exhaustively all the different deficits is the word we use, all the different deficits that they had. And then, you know, when that person died, they take them to autopsy and compare.
Oh.
So they'd say, oh, you know, he lost his left hemisphere, therefore he's like this. Or, you know, so people have been trying to do it for 150 years.
Right.
Figure out the brain. But we've been really figuring out a lot more in the last 15.
So just out of curiosity, since we know kind of what part of the brain is, damaged made different on these sociopaths, do we have any hope of fixing that? Is there anything you can fix?
that's one of the questions of the hour. And that's why, you know, some people write that, hey, if we could identify them before puberty or early on, you might be actually able to, you know, do a therapy that eventually didn't involve medication, mm-hmm. you know. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, the goal is to have healthy, happy population.
Right.
Yeah, we don't want to see our kids shot in the school.
So when you do brain surgery on somebody, are you just fixing things or, you know?
There's lots of different kinds of brain surgery.
But it would seem like if we got smart, maybe, you know, we can, maybe we could fix them or no?
Well,
just kind of broken
really
and going to stay that way?
It'd be really unlikely that we'd be able to do it with surgery.
Nanobots.
Oh, really?
Nanobots, I'm telling you. We're going to put the pictures in there.
It could be a science fiction movie.
That's what I need.
Yeah.
There you go.
We
got
to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk about, during the last break, we were talking about the control
center. Is it your turn?
In the brain. And I want to talk more about that.
Yes, it
is.
Stick it for yourself, though.
In case you were confused.
We'll be right back.
Dirty thing. Too much corruption and crime in the streets. It's time the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground. Call to the maker and he'll settle on down. You can bet he'll settle down. Cause justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta settle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line. When the gunsmoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune and we'll all meet back. back at the local saloon. And we'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, saying, whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Whiskey. What it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my.
So we're all comparing notes on what concerts we went to. First concert, The Who.
Mine was The Who.
So we thought that was kind of fitting. Talk to us some more about the people that are, the sociopath people that are now, that we're seeing more in the news. Let's swivel back to that. So we know that, like, banning guns and all that stuff doesn't count. I mean, because that doesn't deter them. What does deter them? Anything?
Well,
social mores, no.
Yeah, normally
rules, no.
Normally, nothing deters them. And I guess my idea about that is, if they're able with their problem set, if they're able to find a niche in the culture or in the society that they can function in, you know, with or without medication, but if they can find a niche and function in it, and nothing upsets that apple cart. They're never going to do anything wild, you know. And you know, a lot of the theory guys say there's a lot. 1 in 1,000 have sociopathy, but only 1 in 10,000 of them ever does something.
Because they'll find that niche and they stay there.
They settle into a spot that it's sort of comfortable,
right,
for them. And
which is kind of human nature anyway. I mean,
sure. And well, we all do it.
Sure,
or I do it. But we all settle into a spot. But they have to be able to find that comfortable spot,
right.
And that Sandy Hook kid, he was not in a comfortable spot. And then his mom said, "You're going to the state hospital," and he said, "No, I'm not."
Well, plus at that age, there's so much going on developmentally,
oh, yeah,
chemically, everything else. As you're going through that, you know, puberty, adolescent deal, you're just, your emotions and everything is off the scale. So I imagine when you're a sociopath on top of that.
Control is becomes, a huge problem.
Becomes overwhelming, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So during the last break, we were talking about the control center in the brain and how that works. Tell us about that.
All right. So, and we've learned a lot about this because of that real-time MRI scanning. So it turns out when you look at a picture of the brain, it looks like a walnut. It's a wrinkled thing. Well, the brain actually comes in layers, and it's quite a few layers. So that top layer is only about 2 centimeters thick. It's a little less than an inch thick. And if you peel the cortex off, the next layer is the limbic lobe. And if you peel that down, the next layer is the pons and the medulla oblongata and the brainstem. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a few little stacks of, it's like a layer cake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these guys with the real-time MRI have discovered that what prevents the emotional part of the brain from overcoming the cortex, the thinking part of the brain, what prevents that from happening is that it's the same in everybody. It's called the executive center, they call it, and it's right over our left eye. So we all have that. And some people have a really good and really well-developed executive center, so they have excellent control of their emotions, and they don't, you know, that's the kid that doesn't get in trouble in school and gets all their assignments done on time and all that kind of stuff.
Now, is that developed early on?
Well,
or
that's
as you go.
Yeah, it's so that's the neuroanatomy. So well, we were talking before, the brain is a big box of wires, and the wires have to be insulated in order for them to work. All the brain wants to communicate with other parts of the brain. So the above the left eye, that part of the brain is communicating to the emotional control center, saying, in my case, saying, "Down, boy. Don't do impulsive, crazy stuff. Don't do this. Watch my beer or hold my beer and watch this." So that part of the brain, and that part of the brain is one of the last parts of the brain to develop.
Oh.
So because the signaling has to occur many times in order for the wire to carry the signal easier the next time. So how the brain works is the more the signal is carried down that nerve, the more insulation the body puts around that nerve. So it makes it easier to carry the signal the next time.
Right.
If that makes sense.
In fact, so as you get older, you get wiser.
That's why you can't rent a car till you're 25.
Right.
Yeah, so, and...
Is that why boys' insurance is more expensive than girls' insurance?
Well, that would be true, too. They have all the data. But it's like sledding in Minnesota. That's where I'm from. So if we get 3 feet of snow, the first time you go down the hill, the sled barely goes. But by the fourth or fifth run, you're hauling.
Yeah.
So, and the brain kind of works the same way, and it just takes time for... Well, it takes time for that to get completely developed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes our culture doesn't want us to take that time.
Right, right.
Well, what about the, how much of, I don't even know if we could even measure, but how much of that has to do with the way you're raised? So, you know, what's the cultural interplay on some of this?
I would think that that's where having the ability to make choices.
That's exactly where I was going.
The consequences of those choices develops that.
And a lot of people will say on the nature nurture question, they'll say it's at least 50-50.
No kidding.
Yeah, and
so letting your kid make choices and maybe make little mistakes because they're a little kid, rather than my big beef, because I raised my kids in the 80s, and that was when people were starting to become helicopter parents,
right?
And all this restraint, and I'm like, you know, honestly, your kid is going to make their first independent choice behind the wheel of your car,
right?
At this rate, the practice does count for something then, that wiring.
And there's some research to support all that, too. So it's but then again, you can't be telling people how to raise their kids. I mean, that's not going to fly. So
government does it all the time.
Well, okay. But
they shouldn't.
Yeah, and I agree with you that I think our culture has changed since I've been a doctor.
Mm-hmm. So if you... So that does make sense, you know, to have kids make choices and figure things out, because then they do get development in the proper time.
Yeah, there's some arguments, like there's right now a couple companies in the United States are trying to get a bunch of genetic data on Americans, millions and millions of sets of genetic data. And because, you know, you swab your mouth.
I was going to say, don't they call it 23andMe and everybody gives it to you voluntarily?
Yeah. Yeah, and so you send your saliva.
No, thank you.
Well, you send your saliva down there, but what they're really trying to do, and there's also a questionnaire.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're trying to do is say, hey, how many times do people who got an advanced degree have this gene? How many times do they have that gene? How many times do they have this gene? And then their idea is that by doing big data, that they're going to be able to eventually, you know, identify genes that, you know, help out with that stuff.
Or the ones we don't want.
Correct.
At which point we have to worry about.
And so, and there's that still, but it still gets back to that nature nurture argument. And
is there a time limit on it? So you look at kids that maybe do have the helicopter parent, and they finally leave home, they make a bunch of bad choices, then they eventually, you know, kind of track it out and start making good choices. Does that development... Can it come later? Or if it isn't done by 21, you're toast?
No, it can definitely come later.
Well, that's good.
You know, ideally people learn from their... I've learned more from my mistakes than anything else I ever did.
Sure. Right. I think most people do.
That's how it
works.
But
I was just thinking,
exactly,
you know, like some things, if you don't develop them in the right time frame, then you've kind of missed the window, I guess. So it doesn't really have one.
I don't think so. You know, in fact... I think this is kind of funny. So we were taught 40 years ago that we were born with a certain number of brain cells, and that's all you get.
Right.
And then as time goes on, there's attrition, and nerve cells die off, and eventually...
Then you drink a lot, and then you kill some, and that's...
You're going to tell me that's not true, right?
It's definitely not true.
Oh, my God.
So all the brain cells we killed a long time ago, they came back.
Yeah, no, it turns out that most of us probably form at least 10,000 new brain cells a day. And the way it works is, in order to have the brain prevent from getting too much pressure inside a closed skull, how it works is, if you don't give that nerve cell a job within about 10 days,
a purge.
It kills itself. It does. It's called apoptosis. It kills itself.
It's called
A-P-O-P-T-S-I-S.
And so that's a process.
It's a process of a nerve cell committing suicide.
No kidding. So
but if you
stuff
give
with-
it a job... If you, the
It'll
word is
going.
Recruit it, if you recruit it to do something, then it will stay.
So, I was, you know, it's funny, you were leading right into what I was going to ask about
purged,
the learning process.
Ran out of room.
If somebody, you know, basically is very sedentary, doesn't, you know, tax themselves with new jobs and different functions and stuff, does their brain tend to accept that as their level of operation? And can you kind of stimulate it to start learning more?
Yes. The answer is yes. You can still, like, there's a lot of post-stroke studies being done on the fact
that,
you know, there's different things available on a computer that are sort of like brain games.
Yeah, yeah, Luminosity.
You know? Yeah, Luminosity. I get all my stroke patients to get on Luminosity.
I love Luminosity.
Or in the old days, it was a crossword puzzle or, you know, doing
Sudoku.
There was a good dementia study, you know, it was a while ago, but they compared three groups, a group that sat on their butt, a group that tried to learn a second language, and a group that tried to learn to play an instrument. Ooh. The language and instrument groups had 70% less dementia.
Really?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, you're, especially instrument, that's math and that's dexterity.
But
and
no, you're just recruiting your new nurse.
Absolutely.
Self.
You're using a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you have to give, if you give them a job, they stay. If you do serial volumetric CT scans on people's brains after age 65, you can just watch them shrink. And the shrinking directly correlates with dementia.
No
kidding.
So
does the shrinking also correlate to somebody who just sits around all day and doesn't stimulate their brain at all?
Well,
do they actually...
Well, they're not recruiting their new nerve cells.
Less function?
So they have a net volume loss.
Really?
Yep.
Damn.
I know we're all picturing people.
Yeah.
You know, in our life, we're like, hey, maybe that explains it.
Well, I don't want to picture people, but, you know, but learning about it.
Oh, no. I'm picturing people.
Well, but learning about it, it means that you don't have to.
You don't have to be that. You don't have to repeat that.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to go there.
Wow. That does explain a lot of stuff, though. We should have all gone to medical school. You learned a lot more than we did. Although, as an English major, at the end of everything we said, it was like, this is a rule, but not really. So we had that same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is always, we always do, except no, not always.
Right. Yeah, there's an exception.
You hardly ever say
brain
always.
Study and English, they're the same. All righty, we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. Can't sleep cause my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est? Better run, 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 run away.
We don't have to wait till tomorrow. We got him right here.
You can't have too much Tommy. So for all the people that are young, you'll have to do your homework.
We were talking about the regeneration of brain cells, and so...
Bill's all excited.
Yeah, I am excited.
He's like running out to get a puzzle book now.
Because I was always taught that, you know, you drink too much or whatever, you kill brain cells, and you know,
but that was true a long
back.
Time ago. It isn't just because we didn't go to medical school.
We were taught that in med school.
Yeah.
And now we just know it's not true.
Yeah, so everybody can learn
idea.
Old dogs can learn new tricks. Yeah.
Okay, so back to the people who are damaged that kind of started this little conversation. So if you do have a relative or a, you know, kid or somebody in your world who...
A friend,
that's right. Yeah. I forgot. I need to get better at that.
I got a friend.
Who has some sort of a...
Twitch.
An itch. It's too bad this is radio. Bill's twitch isn't coming across as fun as it should. Do any of these things help them? I'm sure they're studying it, but so far it's medication. That's the only way to do it.
Yeah, you know, people, Well, some people, I mean, I've just read things about it because I'm not an expert about it, but some people are saying, people say, hey, if we could maybe early intervene with behavior modification, yeah. or if you find that child that's exhibiting these traits, but guess what? His mom stabbed his, well, actually, probably more like, actually, you are more likely to be stabbed by a woman than a man in your house. But
really?
Let's say, oh, yeah, it's about 52 to 48%.
Oh, I thought that was just frying pans.
Oh.
No.
No?
Not
well,
just
at any
frying
rate,
pans.
if they witness a god-awful thing when they're five, right. you know, the idea is that maybe then that part of the brain, you know, they push their fight-or-flight button so hard that intervention behaviorally could maybe do something about that. And that would be the best of all worlds.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So if we're seeing these kids in school... Okay, so step away from the family. Maybe the family's, you know, not dealing with it, or the kid doesn't have, you know, good parenting role models or whatever. But they're seeing these kids in school that are exhibiting these scary traits. They can't really do anything about it.
Again, I think it's state-to-state variable law. So
right?
I think in California, the parent can do something about it until they're 18.
Okay.
But... you know, the question is, are they going to get medical advice? Are they going to figure out actually what it is?
Sure.
And
but if you have a kid like that in your class, say you're a teacher, and you recognize you have a kid that has some serious mental problems, and they're the kid that we're talking about, the one that has no empathy, doesn't get along with anybody, the scary kid. You literally are just waiting for that kid to blow.
Yeah, because really the law enforcement, and I think it's our legal system, I guess, but they just say you can't do anything until they do something first.
What did we used to do? Did we used to snap them up and put them somewhere?
Well, you know, when I was fourth grade.
Because we usually overcorrect.
Well, I was in fourth grade, and one of the kids that was, we all were scared of him, he brought a gun to school one day. You know, he didn't shoot any of us, but he did bring a pistol to school, and we never saw him again.
Really?
Back then, they sent him to what was called reform school.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what happened to him. But now there's no money for inpatient mental health anymore. So
sure,
right. That's what we were talking about. There's not.
Well,
you know,
they
we
said
used
the
to
kids
have the state hospitals
Parkland
and all
or whatever.
That.
Yeah, there was a lot of state hospitals back in the day.
We don't have any.
And they were probably you know abused or well, and like it's like why ACLU doesn't want me to have the power to 5150 somebody.
And because, that and what does that mean that you've designated
okay, so
them
I've,
as crazy?
No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means I've determined that they're a danger to themselves or others.
Okay,
now they won't let me do that. Well, yeah, but they won't let me do that because even if I was trained in that, what if I decided I don't like my neighbor and decide to 5150 him?
That's right.
We're not in this culture given the power to do what we're trained to do. And I don't really want to do that. I'd much rather have the psychiatrist do it. But
then you got to put yourself in the shoes of law enforcement.
They got an impossible job.
Impossible job, exactly.
Yeah, you keep getting called to the same place over and over and over. You keep picking the same person up on the street over and over and over. What are the choices? They don't have any. They haven't actually done anything. They're just maybe acting weird.
So the kid that just shot up a school in Florida, the law enforcement knew about him, but chances are there wasn't a whole lot more they could do until he acted out.
I think that's the way it works.
Wow.
Huh.
That's so if people want to change something, I'd say change that. Like that's, you know, I wrote that in my column after that Sandy Hook thing. I just said, let's identify these people and try to help them.
Sure.
Instead of waiting for them to explode.
Yeah. So in your column, you had said, you know, we should be testing them. We should be testing at a younger age. So, okay, let's say we identify a kid who's 10 and he's, you know, a sociopath.
Right.
And we can confirm that, you know, that's happening. What would be the choices?
Well, you know, in my mind, if I was the king for a day, I would say you test them once. You test all the kids in the school once. There's 1,000 kids in the school. One of them falls out. You test that kid 3 more times and see if he falls out every time.
At different age levels.
Yeah. So if you did it at 8, 10, and 12, I think that's what I wrote in my column.
Right.
So if they fall out every time, then you get a bunch of psychiatrists and, you know, people who are trained medical professionals to either mandatory medication or to try to do the behavioral things if they look in the past and see this big, dark, nasty secret that's up in the attic.
Or at least have the ability to implement some safeguards in their immediate environment so that they don't have access to a gun.
They should never have access to a firearm. They should never have access, you know.
Right.
I mean, I think there was a sociopath in China that killed about 21 people in a train station with a big, long knife.
Right. So, I remember that.
Yeah, so you can kill people a lot of different ways.
Sure, with a lot of things. Huh. And so you figure that this will probably never happen because it becomes a...
We don't have the political will.
Personal rights type of thing.
Yeah, and which parent wants to say, well, these big-shot doctors are telling me that my kid has this problem and... You know.
He's a good boy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, denial is not a river in Egypt.
Right.
But then you get these
right.
people who have safe rooms in their house.
She was petrified.
Wow. So he's sleeping there? Is that what goes on?
Well, no. When he would get, you know, acting out a little crazy, she and the younger sister would go in the safe room and tell.
Like the kid in Chico that got shot by the cops, remember?
No.
The parents called, the dad called the police and said, come and get him. He's got a knife. He's trying to kill us. And they locked themselves in a room.
Oh, the people who showed up at the town hall.
Yeah, yeah. And
yeah,
then the
yeah,
cops
yeah.
showed up and they went after them and they shot him.
Yeah. Yeah, and now, but the police are monsters.
But that
monsters.
Problem started long
no,
before
that. And now the police are going to be in therapy for 10 years.
Right. No, but I mean, in that particular instance, the guy knew that his kid was crazy and on drugs and all this other stuff. I mean, I don't know which came first, the drugs or the crazy. But
probably crazy.
Niece and nephew were locked in one room that had bars on the outside of the windows. They lived in a great part of town. And the dad was in another bedroom, barricaded, bars on the windows, so no one could get out of the house.
Right.
And here was the 20-something son with this knife trying to literally chop through the door.
Right.
To get to them. So the dad's calling, you know, you got to save us, you got to save us. And they said, hey, we can't get in your back door. They had it barricaded with like a refrigerator or something. I think it was just bad appliance planning. So they couldn't get in back there. And the front had a safety door. You know, those big metal things. Big safety door. Police couldn't get in there. And the guy's like, I don't care what you do. I don't care if you wreck my house. Like, rip the door off. You got to get in here. He's going to kill us. And everybody's, you know, screaming and yelling. And the police come in. Well, the kid grabs, like, the shard of the door jamb that blew off when they pulled the door off. So he's got, like, a spear. And he's running at the police. And they shot him because they were going to die. And so the dad then is leading protests in that town. Orville, because the police murdered his son. And it's like, how do you win on that one?
Yeah,
I mean, that's just.
Well, that gets back to the police just having.
So I mean, society.
Task.
You know, in society, I think we have to.
Well, I've treated. I think three police officers that had to use their service weapon, and two of them were suicide by cop, and one of them still in therapy.
You know.
Oh, well, yeah.
Do you think that
police officer wants to kill the person?
Right. Especially the suicide by cop guys, because you keep saying put the whatever down or stop doing whatever, and they keep doing it.
Two blocks from my house about 10 years ago, there was a suicide by cop, and the paper made it sound like the cops were horrible people, and I'm still mad about that. But, it just made me mad because what they didn't say is that they'd been called to that house, and this guy was drunk, and he was waving a handgun around, and everyone was scared. Well, anyway, they didn't bother to say that they'd been called to that house like 6 times in the last 9 months.
It doesn't fit the narrative.
No.
Yeah, police, itchy trigger finger, just shot the guy, you know, could have done a million things, but just shot the guy instead.
And 1 in 1,000 of them is crazy, too. So every now and then a cop will do something crazy. Every now and then a doctor is a complete bonkers.
Right.
So, but 99 out of 100, 1,000 of them are great people.
Yeah.
It just drives me crazy.
Crazy. The theme of the day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hit our break and then we'll go till the top of the hour. We're here with Dr. Richard Malacki. You're listening to We the People. You can join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life it just begun. But now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama,
analyst told me that I was right out of my head, the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along that he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not, oh no. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I'd need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined, when out of his sight, to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts, no more ifs or ands or buts. They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy ideas, but I knew what was happening. I knew I was a genius.
She can hit that high C pretty good.
This is like the sociopath theme song. You know,
yeah, yeah, it is. It totally is.
I knew that this thought of the Wizard of Three. Who knew? Who knew? Joni Mitchell must have known something we didn't know back then.
I think so.
Okay, so if we can't get these people out of society and they're out there lurking, got any ideas for the rest of us?
Boy, it's a real intractable problem, I think. And, you know, the tough ones are those poor innocent kids. You know, someone comes barging in with, you know, with their mental illness and their semi-automatic rifle. So
we're back to, like, I mean, as far as the school thing goes, doing like we do with airports or everything else. I mean, it's a matter of controlling the
well. Yeah, if you're not going to address the mental health issue, which I think would probably solve about 90% of the problem, if you could identify and treat the crazies, then you're going to have to put some kind of protections in place for the rest of society to protect us from being killed by these people, because we've taken all the state hospitals away. I mean, there's nowhere.
Where do we put people? Like, so if a psychiatrist decides that you're a danger to yourself or others, or is it only if you try to hurt yourself that you get?
Like, so far, that's in California. That's the only way you can detain them against their will.
Okay, because if you try to kill somebody else, that's actually a crime, and they put you in jail for that.
Yeah, that's in law enforcement.
Yeah. How many people with all this stuff are in jail? Lots? I mean,
well,
I would imagine it's got to be...
Well, I've read a lot of statistics about mental illness in San Quentin, so, you know, I think it's a pretty high... There's a pretty high percentage of, not necessarily all sociopaths, but just, you know, untreated mentally ill people.
Sure.
Just like the high percentage of untreated mentally ill people that are sleeping under the Cypress Bridge.
Yeah. And why, you know, I don't know, while we're at it, it just seems like there are so many more now than we've had in years past. I mean, why?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, of course.
Thoughts?
We used to put them in mental hospitals.
Yeah, but not 5 years ago. I mean,
heroin's got real cheap now. And, and of course, fentanyl's here, too. And fentanyl's what kills them all. But is
fentanyl something that's by itself?
Fentanyl
or
is
it's
a synthetic narcotic. And we've used it, you know, I used it when I was in med school and residency. I mean, we would use it in the operating room, and it's real good for putting a shoulder back in the ER. Because it just makes people real, real quick. It makes them go out, and then you get their shoulder back, and then you give them the antidote, and they wake up.
Oh.
So it's a useful drug. But so what's happening now is that if you can scratch together, I've heard different numbers, $8,000 or $9,000, and get on the dark web, send the money, wire it, or pay in Bitcoin to these drug labs that are in Mexico and in China. A week later, you've got a kilo of cart fentanyl in your mailbox.
Holy cow. No.
A kilo of what?
It's called cart fentanyl. So cart fentanyl is elephant tranquilizer. It's approximately 5,000 times stronger than heroin.
What?
And it's, if I take a penny and put it on this counter and cover 1/16 of the surface area of the penny with cart fentanyl to a depth of one sheet of paper, that's a lethal dose in an adult male.
Wow, and drug addicts are usually such good measurers, I would imagine.
Well, you know, the problem
is,
but it's a big, it's a big street value. So if you get that, you get that stuff and mix it with, I don't know, I think it's 25 pounds of dextrose, which is a powdered white sugar. You have to mix it for a long time, so it's thoroughly mixed. While you're mixing it, you have to wear a hazmat suit and a respirator.
Yeah, otherwise you could breathe it in and be dead.
Because it's like a dust?
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you breathe the dust in, it kills you. So, yeah, they're finding these guys face down in a mixer because they forgot their respirator. You know, it's kind of a Darwin thing.
I was mixing my elephant tranquilizer and I accidentally took a deep breath.
Yeah, so if it's mixed real good, and then they send you this little thing called a pill press. So the powder goes in a funnel at the top. You pull on this handle, and out comes a little white pill that says Norco on it. And then they sell those on the street in Chico.
Wow.
Now, if it's mixed good, it's just like a dose of heroin. But if it's not mixed good, some of them aren't very strong, and some of them kill you.
You got no way of knowing. I mean, it's not a controlled.
No.
Like,
but Norco's a real medication, right?
Norco is a prescription pain pill.
So they make it look like a prescription pain pill that somebody got from our actual pharmacy.
Yeah, or they also lace the heroin with the fentanyl, too.
To make it more potent?
Yeah.
God, why would you want to make heroin more potent?
Oh, no, the drug addicts, you know, they'll ask, their dealer, is this a good batch? And if the dealer says, yeah, two overdoses last week, they'll want to buy more of it. I mean, it's a strange animal.
That would be a thing.
Yeah. I mean, they just fall asleep. I don't get the appeal, but it wraps.
Oh, it doesn't make you, like, clean your house faster or any of that?
No, it's not meth. No, it's not a stimulant.
Yeah, that's meth. Meth is
No, opiates make you sleepy and give you a warm, fuzzy feeling if you don't take too much.
But they give you get the ultimate warm, fuzzy feeling.
Well, yeah, you just stop breathing. They cause respiratory depression.
Huh.
So that's what kills you. So now, I told this one of my CHP guys, I said, you guys all got to be carrying that, and they are now, all that inhaled fentanyl, the nasal spray.
Yeah, what's that called? The
naloxone. It's the antidote for fentanyl or for heroin.
And it's like an inhaler?
Well, in the old days,
didn't they give him a shot?
In the old days,
in the movies,
would give
that's
him,
what I know.
In the ER, we'd give him an IV. If we had an OD come in, we'd give him an IV or give him a shot. Boy, you want to see somebody mad at you when they wake up.
Because you counteracted their high.
Yeah, well, and it puts them into withdrawal.
Oh.
So like instantly?
Yeah, in about 30 seconds. So it saves their life, and they start breathing, but as soon as they realize that you woke them up, they're mad. Really,
they,
really.
They need a fix.
Well, yeah. You just put them into withdrawal.
But the fentanyl is still in their system, right?
Okay, yeah. Sometimes you have to dose it again and again, depending on how much they took.
Right.
But, yeah, someone sent me something on the social media. It was the police had pulled up to this car. I guess it's not funny. The front door was open. The driver's side door was open, and the man was slumped over the steering wheel. The passenger was his wife, who he was taking to the hospital because she'd overdosed. And she was slumped over the dashboard, and in the back was a 3-year-old child in the child seat.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's where
we're
at.
And they were both OD'd.
Yeah, those two both lived. But that's where we're at right now.
And hopefully someone else is raising the kid so the kid can live.
42,000 in 2017.
Wow.
And that is from how much of that is, because you hear all these restrictions that they're putting on doctors, but how much of the 42,000 is from illegal? I mean, that's where the problem
majority.
Is.
Yeah. The great majority.
Because doctors aren't going to prescribe it if it's going to kill you, obviously.
Well, 1 in 1,000 doctors will do it. You know, like we had that Dr. Feelgood down in Anderson a few years ago that got in trouble, and he was just giving people whatever they wanted, however many pain pills they wanted.
Right. So the vast majority of this overdose
street thing, drugs.
Yeah, it's all street drugs.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do.
They were growing opium poppies out in Happy Valley 5 years ago.
I had opium poppies in my yard in Eureka.
Well,
I had no clue.
Because they were pretty.
I actually thought they were ugly, and I was going to rip them out. Somebody said, you can't rip those out. Those are California poppies. They're protected or whatever. And I was like, what? Yeah, then it turned out they were opium poppies, and I was married before, and that was a whole different thing.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I'm a botanist.
I was like, since when do you care about flowers?
I go to flower shows.
Yeah, what do I know?
Yeah. Well, now, see, the thing about the fentanyl, you don't need a flower. You don't need an opium plant.
Right. Because it's all synthetic.
It's just made in an organic chemistry lab.
Wow. So add that to somebody who, I mean,
you can't
shoot up a school then.
Well, can evaluate, normally our rule, big, strong, hard and fast rule is you can't evaluate mental illness in the setting of of drugs of any kind, but street drugs especially, or alcohol.
Yeah, because you don't know what you're dealing with.
You don't. And there's no way to tell because the patient's under the influence. So, you know, that's...
Back again to testing people when they're little kids, because most little kids are not doing street drugs.
Yeah. It's
I mean, it depends on the neighborhood,
That's the part I don't get is, if we have the technology to test young children that you can identify as having a problem, you know, in a fairly short period of time, we have the ability of curbing so much of this future violence, but we don't do it.
But see, you'd have to do something. See, testing, would necessitate that you actually do something.
Right.
And that's...
Yeah,
that's the part that nobody wants to...
The rub is in the follow-through.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because we're not situated for that. So as a physician, if somebody comes in and you think there's a problem like that, what do? Just work with the parents or try to connect them to a psychiatrist or something?
Well, I always try to refer them to a psychiatrist because, quite frankly, I don't like having them in my office.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anybody coming in and shooting up my employees.
Right.
Yeah.
Not really interested in that. Happens every year in the United States.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
But, people will come in and, I mean, I had people threaten my life when I worked in the ER because I didn't want to give them any pain pills.
Well, I would imagine that's becoming more prevalent.
Yeah. And we used to just call Mutt and Jeff. They were the greatest guys.
Call Mutt and Jeff.
Well, they were our security guys.
Yeah. Mutt and Jeff, the ER.
Yeah. Well,
M and J.
They were both 6'8", and they were good buddies from their football days, and...
Oh.
We never had any problems with Mutt and Jeff.
They were very gentle. They made you fly
I'll
out.
I'll tell
of
you,
there.
They would never get away with what they did.
Oh, no.
Back in the day.
Well, that's another thing, is you can't touch anybody now.
Oh.
You know? I mean, everybody wants to sue everybody for everything. And
I saw them throw a guy through the double doors. Like, there's a double doors where the ambulance brings people through. I saw a guy fly right through that one time.
Courtesy of Mutt and Jeff?
Correct.
Huh. And now there's no Mutt and Jeff, and now look what we've got.
Chaos.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we appreciate you hanging with us today.
Thank you. Boy,
told you
to
go really fast.
Yeah.
Turns out we know nothing about the brain, see, so we were really unwitting foils for you.
Yeah. Well, you should, get someone who really knows about it instead of me. But
we wouldn't understand it then.
Well, that's possible.
See, then it would all be, so it was much better to talk with just a regular person.
Yeah.
Hey, one of my favorite songs.
Oh, well, this will be on the
archive.
It's
a good song,
so,
huh? I put all the music on the page for today, so you can find that all at wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll have the commercial-free archives for you in a couple hours.
There you go.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thanks for being
See you
on.
Next week.